All right, good evening, DTI. Okay, I have a quick question. Who here is a nature person? Like, you like going on walks, you like being outdoors? Okay. I salute you guys, but I think there's another group of people in this room. Who here is a napper? Like, Sunday afternoon, 3-hour nap, yep. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, guys, I'm with the nappers in the room. Maybe you're both, but for me, the idea of going on a walk and like just for enjoyment, just for a stroll with no destination in mind, just bores me. And I'm like really bad with navigation, so I'd be like this with GPS or Google Maps, and I'd still probably get lost and be like, oh no, I'm gonna be lost here forever. So that's one thing. Another thing, when I was younger, I had pretty bad hay fever. So the idea of walking around trees and flowers just makes me think of like itchy eyes and sneezing. And then the last thing is that I just really like my bed. Like, I'm so happy to just curl up in a blanket and like look outside the window at the trees and the sunrise and the little birds chirping and just be happy like inside my little bedroom. But the thing is, I wasn't created to live inside my little bedroom cocoon and keep making excuses for why I don't need to go outside, because there is a world outside my window and I'm meant to be out there. And that is the message, that is the title of this message today. That there is a world outside your window. And no, we're not thinking about flowers or trees, but we're thinking about how, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be people who don't just look at the world around us through a glass window, you know, take a little nap and look at the injustice or the things that are going on, but we are called to go out and show the compassion of God to a world that so desperately needs it. Because, guys, we're living in a messy world. We've just emerged from a global pandemic, and mental health issues and loneliness are on our all-time high. This cost of living crisis is impacting people's lives and their businesses and their families. We live in a fallen world where there's sin, so there's injustice, there's discrimination, there's tragedies, and there's war and illness. And we don't even need to look that far. We just need to look at our schools and our neighborhoods, maybe even our families and our own lives. And God is moved with compassion. Like, the word compassion quite literally means to suffer together. It's that feeling where you see someone's hurt and you step in with the intention of bringing them out of that. And that is the heart of God. Time and time again throughout the Bible, we see a God who does just that, who steps into people's suffering and pulls them out of it. Like, this is the God that would do the impossible, that would split the Red Sea so that his people who cried out in their suffering could walk into freedom. This is a God who would leave the 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep because he cares about them and had compassion. And this is a God who, when he was speaking to a guy called Moses in the Old Testament, in Exodus 34, verse 6, and he was describing his character, who he is, he described himself by saying, "The Lord God, compassionate." Like, this is who God is. It's his character. He can't deny himself. This is the God that we serve. And he's a God that would use prophets and priests and kings and young people and old people and you and I to be his hands and feet in this world if we would let him. He is so compassionate. He's created us in his image. And so if he's compassionate, then we can be too. There is a world outside your window, and the God of compassion wants to use you and empower you to do his work and love his people to life. And so we're going to think about how to do that this morning. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. It's also going to come up on the screen, and we're reading in the English Standard Version. You might be familiar with this story. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I'll read it now. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So this expert in the law was asking Jesus what it looks like to inherit eternal life, which is a bit similar to the question that we've been asking this week about what it looks like to live life to the full. And yes, Jesus said that you find it when you love the Lord your God, but also when you love your neighbor as yourself. When we look at the world outside our window and we step out and show compassion to others. And then Jesus uses this parable, which is like a seemingly simple story but explains huge concepts, to kind of go into what our world looks like, ways that we might not show compassion, and how we do that well. So let's break it down. First off, we've got the journey. The journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was thought to be about 29 kilometers. So if anyone does park run, any park runners? It's like, again, I'm not with you, but I salute you. It's like 6-ish of those. And this would have been like desert-like conditions, so really tricky route. And there would have been lots of places where robbers could hide and jump out and attack people. And so this kind of represents this world that we live in, the world outside our window. This represents that hallway in your school where you know people get bullied. This represents that park or that street that you know you can't walk down on your own. This represents that side of social media where you know people get dragged and slated. Or that hospital ward where there are people who are ill. And then we've got the man who was beaten and left half dead. And we don't really know much about him. We don't know where he was from or what he looked like. But we just know that he was hurting. And that represents the people that we know and that we see in our world who are suffering. You know, that represents that friend who's struggling with their mental health, the homeless people you see on your way home from school, that person in your year group or your youth group who, for whatever reason, people don't seem to get along with so well or no one chats to anymore, represents another person in the news or in your area who's been stabbed or abused or has gone missing, and the list could go on. And then we see the priest and the Levite. And they would have been people who would have worked in the temple and would know to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And though they know it, they didn't show it. They were living behind their glass window. And we're not told why they both walked past the guy who was suffering. But I think that's kind of helpful because it makes us think, oh, what could have been the reasons for them? And maybe what could be the reasons for us why we might not show compassion? So maybe they looked and thought, you know what, I've got better things to be doing. This is going to take a lot of my time. And also, what if this is a trap? What if I help this person and then robbers come and get me? And so in a situation where someone needed compassion, maybe they were thinking too much about themselves. Now, I know it was March 2022, so last year, and I was relatively new to Croydon. It was an evening, and I went to a new place that I hadn't been before. And I was standing at a bus stop, and all I hear is, ring, 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 ring. Ring, ring, and I slowly turn around, and on the bus stop, there's this phone, and it's got a cracked screen, and it's just ringing, and I thought, actually, who would have picked it up? Yeah? Who wouldn't have picked it up? Okay, well, my first thought was, no, this is how horror movies start. If I pick up this phone, my fingerprints are going to be on it, I'm going to get dragged into some kind of murder mystery, no thank you. But then it rang again, and I got my phone out, and I recorded it, put on my Insta story just so there were receipts in case something happened to me, and then I picked it up. And it was just someone who had lost their phone, and they were looking for it. But instantly, my brain went to, what's it going to do for me? And we live in a society which can be quite individualistic at times. You know, we've heard it so many times, do you? And the underlying message is often, what's in it for me? How is this going to affect me? But Jesus came to selflessly serve the world outside our window. So maybe that's why they walked past. Or maybe they thought, nah, I don't like people like him. You know, he probably did something to deserve this. And so because they looked at that person and they canceled them, maybe they didn't show compassion to them. Now, if you've known me for any period of time, which now you all do, you'll know that I don't really get along with foxes very well, right? When I was 13 years old, I got chased by a fox. And then when I moved into a house in Croydon, there was a fox that came and pooed on my doorstep every single day, right? So then I moved house and thought, you know what, I'm finally free from this enemy. And no, now I've got a family of foxes living in my garden, running around like they own the place, pooing everywhere. And so if I were to see a fox, I don't think I'd be very compassionate. But squirrels, they're just top-tier rodents. Like, they've got their fun little tail and they run around, and I just think they're so cute. And so if I were to see a squirrel, I'd be far more compassionate. So maybe for you, it's not foxes. But it could be that person that you see living a wild lifestyle in your Snapchat story. It could be that person who hurt your best friend's feeling once upon a time. Or that person who, in the street, who dresses and talks a certain way or looks a certain way. So consciously or even subconsciously, we might cancel people from being worthy of compassion. And I think of those people who tragically died when they went to go and see the Titanic. Has anyone heard about that story? Yeah? On social media, I saw more people making jokey comments and more memes than I saw compassion. And I think a lot of the upset was because there were lots of refugees in that week who had died trying to get to safety, and they didn't get anywhere near as much media coverage. And though I do understand the upset and the issue, this was a prime example of people deeming someone and saying they don't deserve compassion because of who they are or what they've done. But that's not the heart of Jesus, because Jesus would have shown compassion to everyone. Right? It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Jesus loves all of his people. He shows compassion. He never canceled anyone. Like, he showed compassion to the prostitutes. He showed compassion to the tax collectors, to the people who were demon-possessed, to adulterers. Jesus doesn't cancel anyone. And so maybe that's why the priest or Levite walked by. Or maybe, just maybe, they thought, not another one. Like, I walked down this route so many times, and every time I see another person who's injured, another person who's hurting, and I can't take it anymore. And so they turned a blind eye. And maybe you can relate to that. I remember when I was about 12, I was like, I'm a big girl now. I'm going to start watching the news. And those 2 or 3 weeks where I was watching the news were probably some of the most disheartening weeks of my life. Because it was sad story after sad story, and I felt helpless, like there was nothing that I could do to change anything. And so I thought, I can't do this anymore, and just stopped watching. But compassion moves God to action. It doesn't make him stagnant. And I think that gets to a point where we have to look at the world outside our window and address it and step out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So like the priest and the Levite, we might know to love the world outside our window, but maybe we still turn a blind eye. And so that's my question to you. I wonder if there's anyone or anything that you know you turn a blind eye to. I know there is for me, and it's a real challenge. But none of these responses seem to be living life to the full that Jesus tells us that we can find in him. Like living a life where we're constantly overwhelmed, or we're canceling those we don't really think deserve compassion, or where we're really not thinking about our neighbors, we're just thinking about ourselves. So there must be another way. And we see that in the Good Samaritan. Because the Good Samaritan put compassion into action. The Good Samaritan didn't think of all these potential excuses or reasons to not show compassion, but saw loving their neighbor as more valuable than the inconvenience that it might cause. And Jesus looked on that with joy. So what can we learn from this Samaritan and about how we can love the world outside our window well and put it into action? So repeat after me. Say, look up. Look out. Look down. And look around. Okay, we're going to do it one more time. Look up, look out, look down, and look around. Okay, so number one, we need to look up. All right, like Zeke was saying the other day, we will always, always start by looking up, by looking to God. Verse 27 talks about loving the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength. And the reality is, if we want to be compassionate people, we need to look to compassionate himself. Like if you looked at a piece of art and you wanted to learn about it, the best person to go to is the artist. And we serve a God who is love himself. And so if we want to learn how to love the world outside our window, we look to love. And God is so compassionate. Like he looked upon the suffering and the sin of humanity, and he didn't cancel us. He didn't numb himself or look away. But he completely stepped in. He sent his own son to come in and show us a life of compassion, to love the lost, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to be there and show us what it looks like to live a life of compassion. But he doesn't just care about now. He cared about our eternity. And he cared about the sin that separated us from himself. And so Jesus went a step further, and he went and he died on the cross so that we could be reconnected with God. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And there is no greater love than what Jesus has done. And he didn't stay dead on that cross. He doesn't just step into our suffering and stay there. But Jesus rose again, and he rose back to life so that we could step into life, live for righteousness, and love the world around us, live life to the full. And he didn't just do this. He also sent us his Holy Spirit, who is a guide who will lead us and help us to show compassion as he works in us. So number one, we look up. Number two, we look out. So verse 33 says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The Good Samaritan, as he was journeying, going about his way, he looked out at the world around him, the world outside his window, and unlike the priest and the Levite, he looked with God's eyes and was moved with compassion. And for us, when we look up and when we fix our eyes on Jesus, then he fixes our eyes. Like when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he helps us to see the world around us with his eyes, like the Good Samaritan. And so as we journey and we meet different people and we go to different places in our lives, then Jesus will show us how and who he wants us to bless and how we can be his hands and feet and show compassion to others. And so I wonder, what is outside your window? Like, what are the struggles of the people in your year group? Who's that person in your sports team or your youth group that everyone is used to kind of ignoring or doesn't like? How are they doing? Who's that person who's running for the bus when you're at the bus stop looking at the bus that they're running for and you're like, do I step in and like try and stop that bus? Who's that person that you could show compassion to? Or what are some of the issues facing your local community or even global issues that you can make a difference to? Things like sex trafficking and slavery and poverty. And there are so many charities that we can partner with in the UK. So today we've heard a bit about Tear Fund and Toilet Twinning. And yesterday we heard about Open Doors and the work that they're doing. And there are so many different charities that we can partner with, globally and nationally. So like the Good Samaritan, we can just be attentive to what's right before us and allow the Lord to move us in compassion. And what's great is that for the Good Samaritan, it was as he journeyed. And for each of us, we've journeyed to get here. And when we leave here, we will have our different routes, our different journeys, our different walks of life, different places that the Lord will take us, that we can show compassion. So can I get a whoop whoop if you came here from England? Okay, Northern Ireland? I want to whoop on your behalf, Northern Ireland. I'm glad you're here. Okay, Ireland? Yeah. Okay, Scotland? Yeah. Wales? Okay, is there anyone who's traveled internationally to get to the DTI? Okay, round of applause for them, because that's beautiful. And so after DTI ends, you'll get on your different coaches or planes or however you got here, and you'll go back, and then you'll get off, and you'll walk around, and you'll go to your different schools, and you'll be in your houses, and your different friendship groups. And there will be places and things where the Lord will open your eyes for how you can show compassion. We just need to do our part by looking out. We don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Just be obedient as we journey to what God says for us. And so there was something that happened like sometime last year where I went to do a youth shop for an event. And I always do this, like when I have one of those little trolleys, I don't realize that I then have to carry whatever I put in that trolley out of the store. And I filled it up too much, went to self-service, checked out, and even before I left the store, the bags started ripping. And I looked and there was a queue, and I was like, do I really want a queue for 30p bags? No, I'll just firm it. It's not that far a walk. But as I left the store, the bags, they completely ripped. And I was like, oh no. But even before I was able to like start having pity on myself, I just hear someone saying, hey! Up here! And opposite the store, there were these flats, and I don't know who it was, I couldn't see them, but they said, we've got some bags for you. And all of these bags just start flying from the sky. And it's like, not even just the 30p bags, like the £1 heavy duty stuff. I was like, oh, I'm really being blessed. And this is someone that, as they were journeying, they just looked outside of their literal window and they thought, you know what, I'm going to opt in and I'm going to choose to show compassion to this person. So I've been on the receiving end of it. We just need to look out. And the Lord has said that we are the light of the world, right? He's put his spirit in us. And wherever we go, we carry his light. So wherever we go, there is potential for us to show compassion. So there's a world outside your window, so look out. And the next thing is that we look down. What is in your hands that you can be generous with? And what would Jesus have you do with it? Because this Good Samaritan was immediately generous with the things that he had to attend and meet this man who had been beaten. Like, he used oil and wine and bandaged him up and put him on his animal and took him to an inn and cared for him and paid money to look after him. He was ridiculously generous with what he had. And Jesus looked upon that and said, that's what it looks like to love your neighbor. And so we can do that too. I know maybe you don't have an animal or lots of money, but everyone has something. Everyone has something. Jesus has given you gifts and he's given you talents. He's not surprised by your life. And so what has he given you that you can be a blessing to others with? Maybe you've got a really good voice and you're a singer, or you're good at listening. Maybe there's kindness in your heart. Maybe you've got a business brain, or you're an ideas person. You can come up with new ways to try and solve some of this injustice. Do you have the ability to pray, which, by the way, we all do? Or maybe it's that you've got time on the weekend where you could volunteer for something. And it doesn't matter if you feel like you've got a little or a lot, because as we heard this morning, if you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. When we have Jesus, we have everything we need. Because in reality, in my hands, 5 loaves and 2 fish can maybe feed 5 people at max. But in Jesus' hands, 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed 5,000, and there'd be 12 baskets left. Or with my words, I can probably comfort a crying friend a little bit. But one word from Jesus can completely transform someone's life forever. So don't belittle what you have. Don't belittle the little that you have, because you have Jesus, and whatever he gives you, he can fill it with his power, and he can show compassion, his compassion, to the world around you. And so a few examples. Me and my housemate last year in our church, we were going through this series called The Art of Neighboring, which is all about loving your literal neighbor and showing compassion to them. And so one Saturday, we're like, yeah, we're gonna meet our neighbors and stuff. And we knocked on all their doors and no one answered the door. So we're like, oh no, we're really bad at this like compassion thing. But then a few weeks later, anyone remember Storm Eileen? Yeah, that like knocked off the O2 arena. All of that stuff. Well, Storm Eileen hit, and one day we were in our living room, and we just hear someone sounding so distressed, and a roof had blown off someone's house, not even on our street, another street, and had flown out, and there was a lady who parked outside our house. She was holding her child, and it came and it hit her head and it hit her car. And there, you can see the pictures there. And so she was in shock. She blacked out for a little bit, and we just heard her screaming. So we're like, oh my goodness. Helped her inside, and we didn't really have much, but we had a sofa that she could sit on. And we were going through a bit of a Kinder Egg phase, so we had lots of little Kinder Egg toys. So we like gave those to her daughter to play with, and we just had a youth residential, so I had a first aid kit at home. And so I was like, oh, well, I guess I can help clean up some of that. And we called her mom to try and come and help her. The little that we had, Jesus was able to use to show compassion to this lady and her daughter in a time of need. Another example, a young person in my youth group had a bit of an injury this year, and some of the youth were really moved with compassion, and they wanted to do something, so a few of them started praying for him, and a few of them were messaging him, and one of them was like, oh, I want to do something, so got a card, and all of the youth signed it to give to him. And so the little that they had, they were able to show compassion to someone who really needed it. The final example, there's a young girl I know who, when she was 12, her parents gave her a phone. And then the pandemic hit, she grew up a little bit, and she really just was moved with compassion for her friends who didn't know Jesus. And so she started making TikToks to try and show the love of Jesus, to try and evangelize to people. And I don't know if it reached one person or 1,000, but either way, she took the little in her hands and was like, Jesus, what would you have me do with it? and she was able to show compassion to the people around her. We can show compassion with the little that we have. And so maybe if you're a good listener, Jesus would have you listen to someone who's going through a tough time. Maybe you've got influence and leadership, and he would want you to rally together a group of people to do some kind of social action project in your local community. Maybe when your friend is struggling with their mental health, you can ask Jesus and he would give you a song to send to them, or something to paint for them, or give to them. Maybe it is donating money or time or food to people who need it. But there is a world outside your window, and we can look down at what we have in our hands and see what the Lord would have us do with it. You know, the other day, Susie was talking about how we were made for a purpose, more than just scrolling. And I think about those 9 hours, if we were to just take two of them and think, Lord, what is the world outside my window looking like? And what would you have me do with that time? I wonder the impact that each of you can have as you journey through your lives. So we look up to God. We look out at who's around us. We look down at what's in our hands. And now we look around. And so I want you to look at someone next to you and go, I see you. Yeah. Yeah. We look around. Because the reality is that we're all in this together, okay? Jesus made a body of Christ. He didn't call us to just be individuals and stay on our own. Because you're really seeing these people. Come back, come back, come back, come back. We are a body, right? Jesus calls us the church, the body of Christ. And though he made us as individuals and we have our own journeys, we're all different parts and we work better together. And in this parable, you've got the Good Samaritan and he does his part. But then he sees his innkeeper and he's like, well, actually, can I leave him with you and I'll help cover the cost? But they both played their parts. And what they were able to do to show compassion was better when they were together than when they were on their own. And so the Lord will want to use you and the people around you, maybe people in your school or people in your youth group or people in your lives, your family, and you can work together and partner together to show his compassion well. You guys heard that I went to Colombia. And one of the things that really marked the children's center where we were was the joy that was there, despite all the trauma and the different situations that these young people have been through. And I looked at the different youth leaders, the tutors that they had, and the teachers that they had, and the people who would cook for them, and those who would do trauma care, and all of these different people working together, not being overwhelmed by the situation, but actually thinking, what is the part that I play? And who can I work with to work together and love these young people well? And so in a place where we would expect to see people who are broken and there's trauma, I saw the joy of the Lord. And that comes from the compassion that people had showed and because the Lord was with them and he was there. And I think the Lord wants us to partner with one another so we don't have to be overwhelmed by the state of the world. When we look up, when we look out, when we look down, and when we look around. And I'm going to end with a story. There was one day, there was a man who was walking along a beach, and there were all of these starfish along the beach, miles long, and he sees this little child, and he's doing something, he's picking stuff up, and he's throwing it out, and he goes, what are you doing? And the kid's like, there were all of these starfish, and the tide has gone out, and they're going to die if I don't throw them back. And the man laughs at him, says, what difference are you going to make? There are so many, they go on for miles. And the little boy, he listens respectfully, and then he picks up another starfish, and he throws it out. And he says, it made a difference to that one. And I wonder if instead of being overwhelmed by all of the suffering that we see in the world, if we each individually could be starfish throwers, where we could look at the world outside our window, step out, see what the Lord would have us do, and we can love the people around us to life. Because that's how we change the world. That's how we're the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's how we see people come to know him and people restored when we step into the world outside our window.